Hello, everyone. We are back for what is now the Poetic Process podcast. The poetic process podcast. So today is going to be a very, very near and dear beginning of a series. This is December 21st, the beginning of the winter solstice. As you guys know, everybody's talking about conjunction, the enlightenment process, and all things that comes with Saturn and Jupiter coming together and us entering into Aquarius. I am not an astrologer. I find it interesting, anything science related, anything dealing with planets, and I feel it would be naive to believe that our, orientation or the environment doesn't have an influence on its people. This and everything around us is created by God. And I feel like everything He has put into place has a purpose in our lives. And it interests me, and I think it's fun to think about. And yeah, so with that being said, I am an Aquarius myself. I found myself to be very innovative, very thought provoked. That's why I write things out a lot to analyze and figure out where my mind is. And this particular time or today, I reflected on a few things in my life and something I feel like all females go through, men as well. And this particular episode is going to be a part one to a part two series. There's a plane outside. I hope you guys can hear that. But part one. And I don't want to give away the title of this poem because it kind of gives away the person and who it's about. But I will title it in the title post recording. And I'll figure out what I will call it. But yeah, I'm going to go ahead and get into the poem. And yeah. I know what I should do, and I really want to. But I spoke my words, and I don't want to confuse you. The truth is that I moved on, and the love that we formerly had is gone. It's not what you think, however, there is no one else. But instead, I realize my worth and my pockets are deep with wealth. I never thought I'd say it, but love doesn't live here. And I'm glad it doesn't because it only brought me tears. You have someone else, so why do you steady call? I want to shake you, but my love quietly grows tall. It's like a virus. I can't feel it. No one can see it, but it's still there. And once in a while, I'll have an outbreak. And I go again, and I'll put my heart at stake. And I'll end up lying cold, breathless, all in shakes from your hurt again. But still, I believe that one day our dreams can come true, maybe in or after graduate school. We'll have a happy home that we always dreamed of, with little P and little J. In the warmth of our love and wonderful life, they'll grow and prosper into a lawyer or maybe a doctor. But my dreams are always abruptly ended with the thoughts of you again, sneaking out of our bed and climbing into her within. What's the problem? Jocelyn. Am I not good enough? Because that's what I've always been. Are you mentally ill? Is this life not what you dreamed of? Because that's what you tell me. Or is this some kind of sick mind fuck game to keep me on your twisted leash? I want to believe otherwise, but that's what it always boils down to. After every conversation, they say I'm subconsciously contemplating what's never going to happen. They say I play with guys like some sort of succubus, sucking back my dignity from what you took. I'm an open book for everyone to see my failure and stupidity, but still I manage to be a victim to your insecurities. You calling me, asking me who I fuck with. Last time I checked, nigga, this ain't college. You say you love her. You say it in the place of your mother's nursery rhymes. I can't believe you had the audacity to say that shit to me. I'm blessing, bitch, the only wifey bitch there'll ever be. I can't begin to understand someone so vindictive and demonic. That's what you want now? The one that broke you down, the one that stole my crown, the cheat, the thief that finally broke our bond you once cherished. Am I being selfish, or do you not have eyes? All the smiles and good times, half of that shit she's done, I will never do to you, no matter how much hell and high water you put me through. I will never understand why you play with children. But I guess that's not my problem, 'cause you seem happy and flying, and I'm the one that's still crying.
Oh, oh, y'all recanting that poem conjured up some feelings in me. Listen, we've all been here, people. Like, no matter, like, poetry to me, as you know, is a vessel of creativity for me to articulate my thoughts and to get them out on paper or in word format so I can see the scheme of things, to see what the beep 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 is going on with this said situation. You're talking to a person, everything's blasé blasé. Their actions aren't matching their words. Their actions aren't matching their words. And what do they say? If someone shows you who they are, believe them. If someone shows you who they are, believe them. This is a phrase, this is, something that people say all the time. And we don't listen. We don't listen to the first time. We don't watch the first red flag popping us in the mouth the first time. But, it takes time for you to accept what is, at least for me. You can have someone tell you a million things, but until you finally have it in yourself to be like, yo, bruh, this ain't gonna work, B. I hate to use that term. I feel like people can have self-love for themselves to here, to the moon, and to the Saturn, and to Jupiter, and to, all types of galaxies here and back. But sometimes people will get to you and they'll put something on you, not even, from a physicality standpoint, but just their energy, their aura. Some people are just demonic. Harsh as hell, but some people just have that energy, or they're being used to damage you, to show you something. And this poem and this particular time in my life showed me something. Was this the last time that I was dumb? No. Is it going to be the last time that I'm done? I'm sure not. But this situation, triggering, very much triggering. So triggering that it transcends into a part two. The part two poem, as you would see, I probably would just go ahead and drop it right after I post this one, because I feel like it shows in life where you go through something and you can point the finger at the person that was a perpetrator in your life. But a lot of the times when you go through trauma and it's not properly dealt with, you begin to hurt people as well. Like they say, hurt people hurt people. If you don't directly deal with that, you can come into a great situation and you'll be looking at Tom, Dick, and Harry, or Sally, Susie, Sharika, and be like, yo, you don't know how to appreciate the good, and you can end up being bad, or you can just end up in a cycle of, oh, what is this? What is, that's the process of this poem. In the process of this next poem, I saw my behaviors translating into another part of my life because I hadn't dealt with said trauma from this said poem. So, we're gonna close this out with just reflecting on knowing when to just say bye out of situations. And I have an issue with that, as many people do, and I'm not ashamed to say it because it's the truth. The poem, as you can see the structure of it, it started off with me saying, "Hey, I'm reflecting. I know what I should do." That was the first line of the poem. "I know what I should do, and I really want to, but I spoke my words and I don't want to confuse you." Right? Why am I caring about what their interpretation of my thoughts are? I know what I should do and I really want to, but I don't want to because I'm still stuck in this pattern of toxicity. Because being, I won't even say abusive, because that's not what it was. It was just a pattern of me accepting patterns and accepting certain behaviors. And over a while, that wears on a person, and you just end up in the cycle where, okay, well, maybe, or maybe this, or maybe that, but honestly, it is what it is, and you know what it is, and you really want to stop, beat, beat, beat with this person, but you can't because you're on a drug. So, moreover, let's go down to the poem. "I know what I should do, and I really want to. The truth is that I moved on, and the love that we had is gone. It wasn't, but I was telling myself in like a mantra form, like, hey, this is gone. It ain't, ain't gonna be popping off no more. This is what I really want it to be." But it goes down a little bit further and it says, "I wanna shake you, but my love still grows tall." It grows tall progressively. The yearning, the feeling of the absence, the like, hey, this has been this so long and we've made promises to each other. We said, happy home, the kids, and we're gonna raise these professional people, and it's gonna be this, and it's gonna be that. But once again, I'll end up lying on the floor, cold, breathless, and it shakes from it hurt again, because consistently going back, touching a hot stove, and you get burnt, and you knew you were. But it's like some sort of cycle that happens where you just keep going back. Even you know it is going to be some bullshit, but you go back, and I'm just going down the phone and I'm processing it over and over again, because I feel like it's important to, when you write things out, whether it's stories or you just do pros and cons lists, you really have to analyze your thoughts, or I should, and just be like, hey, this is what this is about, and digest it. Digest it, eat it, digest it, push it away, let it go. I don't want to say excrete, but hey, you gotta let it go and flush it. That sounds so gross, bro, but it is the truth. And as we got to the end, I see homie girls just like pandering, like the one that you say that you love, you say it in place of your mother's nursery rhymes. I can't believe that you had the audacity to say you're talking to me like I'm your homegirl, like I just wasn't your girlfriend for like X amount of years. And what kind of psychotic nigga would say some shit like that? You basically cheated. Not basically, I'm trying to sugarcoat shit, I'm gonna keep it real. You cheated, and and now we're having a conversation like we homeboy homegirl. You telling me about this new chick that you cheated on me with, and why am I going so hard and so deep into it? But this is just some wild ass shit, and I'm always on the episode of Living Hip Hop. That is my life, I swear to you not. And that's why my poems are so endless, because it's just like, how in the hell, who goes through this stuff? I do. But anyway, moreover, ending the poem at the end, I understand. I would never understand why you play with children. So I'm pissed. I won't even say bitter, but I'm just like pissed. Like, yo, you're bugging. Homegirl's trash, and you kiki and kicking it, happy, talking to me like it's chum chummy, and I'm sitting here accepting your conversation. I should have blocked you on all social media platforms and let it be, but I'm just such an Aquarius. I'm just very, understanding, even though it's at the detriment of my feelings at times. And I won't even say it's an Aquarius trait, it's just a trait of me. I'm always very open-hearted and like I try to understand other people no matter how it hurts me, and I accept people's faults sometimes to the detriment of myself. But anyway, at the end, I recognize that you seem very, very happy, or not even happy, but you seem content with basically trashing me happy and flying, and I'm still the one crying, even though I am still allowing you to be in my space. Saying that up, I shake my hand of it, and it ends technically. It says to be continued because I thought I was going to continue this poem. Moreover, 2 3 years later, I write another poem, and the trauma from this situation is showing up. And the poem is titled I Think I'm Bad. Tune in for the next episode. Bye.